I would turn with you, if you would turn with me, to Matthew chapter 18. Those of you who were here last week, we started looking at this passage, Matthew chapter 18, and the section particularly from verse 21 to the end of the chapter, the parable that Jesus teaches. Matthew chapter 18. And this was in answer to Peter's question in verse 21. Let's just read Peter's question, first of all, and then we will reflect on the passage and some aspects of it in particular this second week that we come to it. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus' first part of the answer, verse 22, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." And so on. He then teaches by the parable and gathers it together. Verse 35, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Now, I said last week that I believe what this passage teaches us is, first of all, that the biggest problem in the world is what God thinks of us, what God thinks of me. That's far bigger than most of the problems that people will tell us are the big things. But if the biggest problem in the world is what God thinks of me, then the second biggest problem in the world is the way we think of ourselves. Because then that has an impact on how we think of God and how we think of other people. So I'm saying that the second biggest problem in the world is the way I think of myself. And that is embedded in the parable that Jesus teaches. The servant that the master, the king, forgives an immense wealth, the servant has a particular opinion of himself, which has a massive bearing on his response to the king and also to his fellow servant. It's when we get that wrong that everything goes wrong, if we think of ourselves in the wrong way. James, in his letter, wrote in chapter 4, verse 12, "Who are you to judge another?" And in chapter 2, verse 13, he had said, "Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." And earlier than that, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." As James said, who are you to judge another? How do you think of yourself? How do you regard yourself? And all this is surely demonstrated and applied in this parable that Jesus taught to his disciples. And today, I want to look at the application of it to us, remembering how God has treated us. He is the rightful judge, but also what impact that must have on how we treat others. And in the middle of that is this problem of how we see ourselves. How is it that we are to forgive our brother, Peter's question, without counting? 70 times 7, you'll very soon lose count. How do we need to learn how important is this for us to forgive our brother and to follow the pattern that the Lord sets for us here? What I would seek to do today is, as it were, to hear God's word to us through this parable, where he says, first of all, remember my forgiveness to you. Remember my forgiveness. In the second place,
answer my question.
There is a particular question he asks in this chapter. And then thirdly, he says, now look at your brother. First, remember my forgiveness. Second, answer my question. Then, and only then, now look at your brother. These things, I believe, we find in this parable. First of all, remember my forgiveness. Remember how I have forgiven you, the Lord says to us. Remember, we saw, or those of you who were here last time will remember, you will have to just glance at it otherwise. We saw last time that the king, this master, he had compassion. Verse 27. He was moved with compassion on this first servant, and he forgave the debt. He cancelled it for no other reason that the man asked him and he had compassion. It was within his own heart that he forgave that debt, that immense debt. I explained that how big that was in certain ways last week. Let's put it this way. I don't know if you know what the going rate is for a day's work these days. Well, the second servant, a little further down, he owed 100 denarii. And one denarii was a day's work, a day's wages. So if you work out a day's an average day's work, that was 100 days. So a year, a third of a year, roughly. 10,000 talents comes to something like 6 million days. The man had said, I will pay it back. It was way beyond his reach. He never could. It's that kind of scale. Unpayable. And just simply out of compassion, the king says, I forgive it. In other words, I pay it for you. And as we read on through the parable, we find that this actually matters, not just between the king and that servant, but within the relationships of the servants as well. Quite apart from the king, you might say. What has just been done, the other servants recognize that that should make a difference. How the king treats me, we should expect it makes a difference how I treat you and others. The king expected it to make a difference. So did those servants. His fellow servants saw what had been done, and they reported it. They understood that it was improper. It was unsatisfactory. What the king has done to me, for me. We should expect, he expects, that it will make a difference in what I do to you, for you, and you to me. That's what the king does. When he has this reported to him, the master calls him in verse 32. And he says, do you remember? I'm going to take you back. Remember, you need to remember, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me, simply because you begged me, you asked me. He takes him back. God takes us back. We should be taken back. Jesus did that when he was teaching us how to pray. That's the meaning of that. He says, remember what God has done for you, the mercy he has shown to you. This picture is clearly one of how God deals with us. That's why Peter says in the letters that we have been had started reading, he says, I will never get tired of reminding you of the key things. And I will make sure that when I'm gone, there is a thing in place that will keep reminding you. It is for us to keep coming back to the foundation of our lives, which is this, at the very heart, God forgives us. We must never forget the forgiveness God has shown to us. We can never forget what it has cost him. And this is in practice, not just in our minds, not just in the book, that we hear those words and we know those words are in the book, but this is something that must be applied, that as we go, as this servant went out of the presence of the king, he completely forgot. He went out that door and it was as though it only belonged inside. But this is the spirit that we must carry with us in every place, in every time. Remember my forgiveness of you. Remember too, if it will help at all, and it must, remember, never think that God's forgiveness is without cost. Never think that he just looks at us and he says, oh, it doesn't matter after all. Not once has he said that. He says it does matter. We know how much it matters. It matters as much as putting his son on the cross. That's what this forgiveness is about. We mustn't forget it. It does matter. And in our forgiveness towards one another, change must come on both sides of the relationship. The passage just before this parable speaks about that. There is a need for those who have done wrong to other people. There is a need to come back and to repent, to confess and repent and turn. What this is talking about, though, is my forgiveness to others. If somebody has, we think, wronged me, I have a responsibility to remember his forgiveness, God's forgiveness of me. Peter's question was, what must I do? That must be your question, my question. What must I do as I go through life interacting with all these different people? And Jesus' answer was, start with God's boundless mercy to me. His great compassion, his great love. You know that chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love? There are wonderful things that it teaches us, but especially relating to this, it tells us something. It tells us, literally, the words are, love does not reckon the evil. Now that's one of the old style expressions where it's about keeping a tally. Maybe you're playing cricket and you keep a tally, or you're playing football and you tally up the goals so you don't forget. If you didn't do that, somebody might say, oh, that's your first goal. And you say, but I scored 3 already. It's that kind of sense. It's love does not keep that tally. Love does not keep an account. Not even one. There are no ones, no counting of what someone might have done an evil against you. Love does not do that. God is love. Instead, love believes all things, love hopes all things. In other words, love judges, makes an assessment, evaluates a situation with mercy. Believes all things, hopes all things. Looks for the best, you might say. Makes the assessment, the judgment with grace. Thinks the best, makes allowances. That's what the Lord does. Jesus, the one person who has had a right to raise a complaint about the injustice done to him. And there on that cross, he says, Father, do you know the words? Forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Do you do that to the people that wrong you? Do you do that to the people that are making a mess of life all around us? How gracious are you? How gracious am I? In many of our churches that we have links with, there's a lot of talk about what they're called the doctrines of grace. And these are wonderful things. God, all that we have, every hope that we have is by God's grace. But that means it should work out that we are gracious also to others. God is, the master says to the servant here, come here. Do you remember what I just did to you? I forgave you all that debt. Remember my forgiveness. Do you remember the Lord's forgiveness? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do you remember how the Lord has taken away from you that burden of guilt as he forgives? Remember my forgiveness. And remembering that, I have a question for you. Answer this question. In the light of that forgiveness, what about this? In the light of what I've done for you, how are you going to deal with the other person? In the light of all that I've forgiven you, how are you going to look on what they've done to you? 6 million to 100. God asks us this question. Verse 33, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Every single time we face such a situation, God asks us this question. Our conscience should ask us this question. What I would plead today is that we take it from God's word and we implant it. We teach our conscience that it does ask us. Our consciences need teaching. Don't just go with my conscience tells me this. It will teach you all sorts of strange things unless you teach it, train it, give it the right things. And this is so important to it. Is this the spirit that is within? Is your conscience established on this? To be forgiving, not self-righteous as that servant was. And the reason I stress this, the reason we need to look at this, and the reason that Peter goes where he goes in his letters, we've interrupted that for a little while. The reason is because this is one of the most serious things that the Bible has to say to us. It's the king in verse 33 says, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant? It's he who was angry. Delivered him to the torturer till he should pay all that was due to him, and he was never going to be able to do that. And that's exactly what the Heavenly Father will do. If you and I, from our hearts, do not forgive, from our hearts, do not forgive. We can say it, we can appear like it, but if we hold it to our hearts and do not forgive, it doesn't satisfy this equation. But that will be what will happen. We are in eternal danger if we do not forgive everyone around us. It was in Matthew chapter 6 we read, verse 15, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. And what happens if the Father does not forgive us our sins? We cannot approach him. We do not have hope. An early 17th century poet and clergyman, George Herbert, wrote, he who cannot forgive breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. If I cannot forgive, or I say I cannot forgive, or I insist I cannot forgive, for the Lord not to forgive me is to be eternally lost. It's so crucial, it's so serious for our own welfare. Do we forgive our brother his trespasses? That's why Jesus puts it out of reach, 70 times 7, to go on forgiving. Oh, how many times is that? I've forgotten, I'll have to start again. Because it's so important. It's our eternal welfare at question here. remember my forgiveness, should you not also forgive and have compassion on your fellow servant? This is the question. Answer it. The servant had no answer, and he was cast out. Answer that question. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant? And when that question rings in our minds and our hearts day after day after day, now you can look at your brother. This brother that Peter asks about. Here's a brother who's sinned against me. How should I look at him? How should I deal with him? Jesus says, have you got all this sorted out? Do you remember my forgiveness? Have you answered this question? Now look at him. Once it's firmly implanted in my mind that I am forgiven, only then should I contemplate my brother. And I will see him then the way God means me to see him. Just as he sees me as one to be forgiven, to receive his mercy, so too is my brother before me. He's one to be loved. He can have all the knowledge in the world, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, and so many more things, wonderful spiritual things, you can have all that, but if you do not love, it's nothing. Your brother is one to love, one to be forgiven, and by extension also one to be submitted to, which is the big theme that Peter deals with that we interrupted. Remember what I mentioned earlier from 1 Corinthians 13? Love. Love does not reckon the evil, doesn't count it up. But love believes all things, love hopes all things of you, of me. There's possibility there. Make those allowances as we have received grace to think well of the other, just as we expect them to think well of us. It's one of the great problems that sinful man has, is we judge the other person as harshly as we ought to judge ourselves. We judge ourselves as leniently as we ought to judge them. But by what measure we judge, we also will be judged. Don't look at the other person too soon before you've trained yourself to see them as you ought to. You know how there are let me take footballers who transfer great prices, they transfer to another club, and I often wonder how it goes when they turn out in a match against their old club. They've changed their outfit, their kit, but there are players that they used to play with in their old kit. Are they sometimes having to almost pull their mind around to make sure that they're not playing for the other team again? And it's something like that. There's that period of training. It doesn't happen because they've spent time with their new club before they go out on the pitch, before they go out into the conflict. We must train ourselves. We must be trained by the Spirit, by this word, by a realization of just how important this is, by a realization of where it must come from. I am not their judge. Who made you to be a judge over another? James said. You start doing that and you're supplanting God. You're putting yourself in his place. It's his work. I leave that in the Lord's hands. It's about training in love. Remembering his love to us. 1 John chapter 4, 19 says, we love because he first loved us. Yes, we love God first, but we love him by loving others. Do you remember there was a woman came and anointed Jesus' feet? And Jesus explained, she loves much because she's been forgiven much. She loved him. But Jesus didn't say she loves me because she's been forgiven much. He said she loves because she's been forgiven much. It doesn't just return to God, it spreads to all men. Whereas Simon, on the other hand, whose house she was in, he showed no love to the Lord. And the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, tells us, love covers all sins. Rather than bringing them to the fore, rather than keeping them to the front in our own minds or in bringing them to attention of others, at the expense of my brother, love covers all sins, passes on from them, leaves it in the Lord's hands. Whether it be forgiving, loving the other one, true love, not just emotion, but a commitment, a devotion, giving of self, submission. All of these are so different from the spirit of our own day. So different from the spirit of men who have not been forgiven by God because they have not come to Him. So different from the spirit of me, me, me. It's all about me. And those things, those spirits, should never be found in the church. Should never be found in any member of the church. We belong, we say, to Christ by His sacrifice of Himself. It's by this that He forgives. He pays the debt. And if you care at all about the death of Christ on the cross, this is perhaps one of the very first things that we must be looking for a change in our hearts and in our lives. That we train in godliness, godlikeness. That we have grace, we are gracious, having received grace. That we are merciful, having received mercy. We are forgiving, having received forgiveness. We submit even to suffering as Christ submitted to death and to suffering for me. Let us always be ready to return to the Lord, remember His forgiveness, return to Him to seek forgiveness, especially for our own unforgiving ways. That our own unforgiveness, every incident, every time we fail to forgive our brother, that it will grieve us and bring us back. That it will be part of that training. How we will then look upon another. But if not, let us be fearful. Without a forgiving spirit, every one of us is in danger. We are not yet in a place of hope for our souls. But that way is open. Christ has died on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. But will you come to the Father through Him? Confessing, I need your forgiveness. My debt is beyond payment. Please pardon. And please change me, that I will be a forgiving person with hope. I just go so far this morning. Pray that God will grant us blessing in His Word, that His Spirit will guide us and be with us. Let us now pray together.